We started the show by admitting, myself and Lauren Lapka, we don't know how to explain blockchain technology to anybody else. I have tried to grasp it in so many different ways. I feel like I've got some of the basics down, but I know that there's a lot of us out there that could use a little refresher. And as part of that conversation, conversations about, well, how do we manage these companies? And do we want to be a leader in the Illinois sphere of this stuff, or do we not? And how do we manifest all that? So that's a lot to get to in one show. Catherine Kirkpatrick Boss joins us now, a board member of the Illinois Blockchain Association. Hello, Catherine. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks so much for having me.
Illinois is a leader in blockchain technology. I know that because the person that pitched you to me told me so. I didn't know that. So just in the simplest terms, 30 seconds, what is blockchain technology?
Sure. It's actually a great word for it when you think of it, because you have to think of it visually, where you have blocks of information. And when the block is filled, another block is added to it. Mm-hmm. And what it really is like a giant public notebook or a ledger where everyone in the world with an internet connection can see every page and everything added to the ledger. But nobody can secretly erase or change anything without anyone knowing. So it's decentralized, meaning no one individual or no one company controls the data on the blockchain. And it's also used for a lot more than crypto. And it's used for things like supply chain, healthcare, logistics. Think of how useful it is to have kind of this basically giant public ledger when multiple parties or multiple companies are involved in tracking things. So the utility of it can be applied in a million different contexts.
Can you give me one that's like really tangible where I'm like, oh, that totally makes sense, whether it's secure information on blank Y or Z. Like, give me something to chew on.
So my personal favorite actually is the use of the blockchain could completely eliminate high-end wine fraud. Huh. So I'm sure there was this kind of salacious case a couple of years ago where this guy was convicted of, you know, forging all of these crazy wine labels, you know, these very fancy wine bottles sell for thousands of dollars to collectors. And he was basically taking old bottles and you know, counterfeiting labels and printing them and then selling them to people with, you know, kind of Costco wine inside. And what the blockchain could do is every time, you know, a very fancy winery in France, you know, Chateau Lafite releases a case of wine, they put it on the blockchain. And then every time that wine is sold, you know, someone checks out, someone buys a bottle of wine, that transaction is added to the blockchain. So there's no ability to manipulate those sales. There's no ability to counterfeit the labels. And the same can be said for real estate transactions. You know, you want to go look up, you know, you want to apply for a zoning permit from your village or something. You need to prove to the historical committee that it's not a, you know, architecturally significant house or something like that. So you need to trace the ownership. Well, you put the ownership and you put the actual transaction when you sell your home on chain. So everyone can see it. Everyone can access it with the click of a few keys as opposed to going to like a dusty courtroom.
And there are companies then that what? Create more of the chain, develop the technology for making it easier to use and add to the chain. Like how, when we say we're, you know, we're a big place for blockchain technology in Illinois, what are these companies doing? Like, what do they look like?
Oh, tons of different companies. And that's actually the beauty of crypto. And I should also say we call it crypto because it's all based on this very sophisticated math called cryptography. So when people talk about crypto, that's what they mean is anything based on this technology. And there are there's hundreds of crypto companies in Illinois. And the beauty of crypto is it's not just kind of, a lot of people think crypto, they think these ridiculous tokens like Dogecoin or whatever. But you have all these different facets of what people call the ecosystem. So you have tech companies building infrastructure for blockchain. You have companies using AI and blockchain. You have blockchain trading companies, derivatives, big derivative shops using, you know, crypto asset trading. You have NFTs, which are kind of like, you know, virtual trading cards. It goes on and on and on. And a lot of the technology is really not exclusive, again, to crypto. It's these blockchain infrastructure companies that are coming up with use cases that can be applied in all different industries. Like, okay, we're going to facilitate the movement of, you know, shipments from China on chain, and this is going to save you, X supply company, this much money and this much time.
Hmm. Well, that starts to make a little more sense. Do these companies employ a lot of people? Are they like programmers or coders or like a bunch of people at computers in an office or at home? Like, what does a company structure, basically, I know there's a bunch of them, but generally speaking, look like?
All over the place. And again, that's one of the kind of fun parts. Crypto is really global and borderless. So it's actually very appealing to Gen Z in a lot of ways. A lot of crypto companies tend to be remote first. Others have significant offices in Chicago, for example. You know, you have early movers like CME, which they were the first to do futures trading in Bitcoin. You also have blockchain startups and incubators and, you know, at Merchandise Mart talking about these issues and working in this space. A lot of them are the people working for these companies are engineers and developers, but you also have kind of business development, legal, sales, marketing. It's much like any other company.
Interesting.
Not a lot of face-to-face crypto sales, but that's also the beauty of reaching everybody around the world very quickly.
Okay. All right. We've laid a good foundation, Catherine. Good job. We're going to talk a little bit more about Illinois specifically and some potential legislation that's making its way through Springfield. Okay, Catherine. Blockchain technology, you explained it in the last bit of time we had. Illinois, we got a lot of companies that do this, right?
Absolutely. We could become the Midwest hub for blockchain innovation. And unlike a bunch of other jobs where we're losing jobs because of the advent of AI, crypto and blockchain are really growing. Like, jobs are being created every day. There's a growth in the demand for a lot of different kinds of services and people who have an interest and expertise in this area.
State Senator Mark Walker had a bill coming, he says, to weed out bad actors in the digital currency industry. Passed the Illinois Senate, to my understanding, still waiting on the House. You and a lot of folks in the crypto world have some objections to this bill, yes?
Absolutely. And it's funny because there's often kind of a wrong perception of the crypto world. You know, I am a 41-year-old mother of two young children who lives in Winnetka. So most of the time when I meet people who think crypto is a bunch of, you know, bros wearing hoodies at the age of 25, that's definitely not crypto. Like, there's a huge flow of, like, intellectual horsepower, a lot of smart, ambitious people who are here for the growth of technology. Illinois is at a crossroads, you know. There's definitely bad actors using crypto because it's a nascent industry. You know, whenever you have a young industry with new stuff, people are going to take advantage of it. But we can decide to lead in tech-friendly innovation and all the good stuff about it. Or my fear with this bill and the Illinois Blockchain Association fear is that this bill is going to drive talent and investment out of Illinois to other states because it's really a heavy-handed, confusing regulatory infrastructure that really puts a lot of pressure on these young, growing companies. And also puts a lot of pressure on an already overwhelmed licensing agency that would all of a sudden have responsibility for all these blockchain companies.
I hear you. And again, I'm just learning a lot about this technology now. And so, by the way, I imagine are our state reps and state senators. It's such a confusing topic to some people that it is almost sometimes, and we experience this with Washington too, on a lot of topics, it's hard to believe that those are the folks regulating what happens. But that's the system we have, right? Is people trying to catch up on technology and learn it. And that's important. I have a hunch, though, that you might say, well, some regulation is good, but I feel like no matter what regulation brought forward, there would be objections from people in your industry. Am I wrong?
Well, you know, it's hard to make a generalization. Of course, there's going to be objections from certain pockets of crypto. Like, we want unregulated everything. But I would say the vast majority of people in crypto, and definitely the crypto lawyers, we have been begging for regulation for years. Because my job, you know, I'm general counsel of a crypto company, would be so much easier if I had very specific rules to follow, as opposed to kind of these very amorphous rules where it's unclear whether this applies to my business or, you know, crypto assets more generally. We have institutional investors who would like to have the opportunity to make money in this asset class, but they're afraid to engage because there's not a clear, you know, regulatory infrastructure. So I wholeheartedly support some degree of regulation. So does the Illinois Blockchain Association. But what we need is a scalpel, not a sledgehammer. And this bill is a sledgehammer. And it will really only enable big, well-funded, established companies to survive and thrive under it, thereby killing grassroots innovation.
Is that because of the license fee of $100,000 for folks to operate in this space?
That's actually the least of the problem. It's the licensing fee, and, you know, I'm formerly chief legal officer of a heavily regulated crypto company. We had the similar regulatory license in New York called a New York Bit License. There's a lot of costs associated with the regulation, but there's also headcount. You know, you need a compliance team to deal with audits, to deal with investigations. And all of that might be worth it if it really dissuaded bad actors. But if anything, I think that this bill gives a false sense of security for consumers because it's not going to regulate the bad guys in crypto. Like, those bad guys aren't sitting in Illinois. Like, that's the good and bad of crypto being global. It will just put more of a burden on, you know, smaller companies that are doing things that should not be regulated. If we're talking custody and control of crypto assets, of you know, crypto tokens that are a form or could be a form of money, absolutely. That's a regulated sphere. But the bill uses language that means it regulates all companies that, quote unquote, administer crypto assets, and administer is not defined. So that's our fear. You know, where do you draw the line with what is being regulated? You want to regulate the students engaging in blockchain, you know, the proof of concepts, the academics? Arguably, those would all fall under this law.
Yeah. And again, without understanding completely the technology, it's hard to navigate a discussion on it, only because everything you're saying makes sense to me. And we have invited and will welcome, if you'd like to come on, State Senator Mark Walker to talk through his advocacy for this bill, which passed through the Senate. But you mentioned things like compliance and having to hire people for that. I hear you, right? That is a burden, especially on small companies that are just getting started. But like other institutions and other spheres of business are regulated too, where you have to hire compliance officers. It is just kind of a necessary evil of doing business in any state. And yet the state sees a lot of businesses and industries continue to thrive. I don't know. I just, part of it feels like against regulation for against regulation's sake.
You know what? That's absolutely valid. And again, to be clear, we are not anti-regulation. If anything, we would support a bill or, for example, granting the ability for crypto companies to be regulated under a money transmitter license. Like many crypto companies that are dealing with the custody and control of crypto assets, those should have absolutely, you know, a compliance officer and all of the infrastructure. But you also have a lot of companies outside of crypto that are not regulated by the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, which is the agency right now that would get this regulatory power. That's a very onerous regulatory regime that should be reserved for financial regulation. And a lot of blockchain companies are not financial. They're technology, they're infrastructure. And when you look at your average infrastructure company, that those companies are not regulated by the IDFPR. So if anything, it's more like we need regulation that's targeted at the actual risks, supports innovation and competition, and is managed by a modernized regulatory system that has the, you know, capacity to deal with this unique technology.
Catherine, I got about a minute left. Do you sometimes wish, and people in your organization and people beyond, that the world of blockchain technology, which you mentioned companies using in great ways, and crypto are too intrinsically linked in our heads? And when you have coins blowing up overnight and people losing millions of dollars because of it, it doesn't do the rest of the industry any good.
100%. I have a very much a love-hate relationship with meme coins. Those coins, I guess they're fun. I guess they get people engaged, but they really are not what I view as crypto and as this really game-changing technology that could fundamentally help Americans. I'll leave you with this one thing. The real attractiveness to crypto assets for most people, like Bitcoin, is that there's no one centralized party involved. And, you know, in 2015, when the Swiss pulled the peg on their currency, thereby immediately dropping, you know, the Swiss franc immediately skyrocketed 20% and, you know, hurt a lot of people holding the bag. People are attracted to crypto because there's no one government involved. The government can't just wave a magic wand and manipulate or change the effects that individual Americans or Illinoisans or people feel.
Right.
So there's a lot of abstract attractiveness there.
I understand that too. And this is, I guess, where the rubber meets the road, right? Where you want to be in the crypto sphere or the blockchain sphere, but we exist in an apparatus that has a government that has to operate, has to collect taxes, has to regulate, or at least try and keep consumers safe. And this is where these things butt together. It seems very respectfully, and again, we'll have to hear from the folks that supported this bill and maybe dive a little deeper another time. Catherine, I got to go. Thank you very much for your time, though.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's Catherine Kirkpatrick-Moss as I begin to just start to scratch the surface on all this stuff.